Greetings of grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. This morning, I plan on looking at two texts, actually, as we consider Christ the King Sunday. And the first text that I will read for you is out of John chapter 18. And we begin reading from verse 28 through verse 40. So that's John, the Gospel of John, chapter 18. And I'll be reading from verse 28 to the end of the chapter. And I'll read then as follows in the name of our Lord. Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment, and it was early. And they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Pilate then went out unto them and said, What accusation bring you against this man? They answered and said unto him, If he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him up unto thee. Then said Pilate unto them, Take ye him and judge him according to your law. The Jews therefore said unto him, It is not lawful for us to put any man to death, that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spake, signifying what death he should die. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, Art thou the King of the Jews? Jesus answered him, Sayest thou this thing of thyself? Or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and said unto them, I find in him no fault at all. But ye have a custom that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will you therefore that I release unto you the King of the Jews? Then cried they all again, saying, Not this man, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a robber. Amen. And then we're going to turn to Revelation. Revelation chapter 1, and I'll read for you from the first verse of chapter 1 through verse 18. Revelation chapter 1, beginning reading from verse 1, and again reading as follows in the name of our Lord. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace, from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before the throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, Amen. I am Alpha and Omega, The beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, and what thou seest, write it in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus and unto Smyrna and unto Pergamos and unto Thyatira and unto Sardis and unto Philadelphia and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps, or the chest, with a golden girdle. His head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, and saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Amen. Shall we pray? Gracious Father, we thank you again this morning for your word. And even as we draw near to your word this morning, we pray that indeed, Father, you would teach us. You would show each one of us who you are. And again, Father, that you would show us who we are. And ultimately, Father, that you would reveal unto us your Son, our Savior. So, Father, sanctify us in the truth, for your word is truth. For Jesus' name's sake, amen. Thought it fitting as I was looking at the text for this Sunday, Christ the King Sunday, to bring to you two different views, as it were. Probably one of the best ways of teaching people something about a particular subject is to give them some different views. So when you study in a lot of areas, when you study, you actually just get one view of a certain subject matter. But it's very good for us to actually look at something from a few different views. Now, understandably, the subject that we're talking about today isn't a subject in the sense of like science and Christianity or eschatology or any of these things that we talk about or think about. Maybe you don't think about these things at all, but anyway, these are the things that I have studied in seminary, where you look at science and Christianity and you look at it from four different perspectives, where you look at it from people who just simply separate them completely, people who look at them in unison, people who pit them against each other, and so on. And so I think it's fascinating for us this morning, even as we look at, in a sense, we look at eschatology, which is simply the end of the study of end things. Because when we come to the end of this church year, which is what we have done, if you're familiar with the church calendar, next Sunday we begin the year afresh. We begin with the Sunday, the first Sunday of Advent. Today is Christ the King Sunday. And I can think of no better way to end the church year than to examine again Christ and to look at him as our King. You notice the stark contrast, if you were listening to the reading this morning, of the two views of Christ that we have in the Scripture. The first view that I read for you is that of the man who enters into the judgment hall with Pilate and is condemned to die. It's a pathetic picture, really. If you read on through John chapter 19, this is what Pilate actually does with Jesus. He flogs him, he beats him, he takes a crown of thorns and he pounds it into his skull, and he puts a robe around him, a nice purple robe, which would indicate royalty, and parades him out in front of the people and says, "Hey, look, here's your king." And the people say what? "Away with him! Crucify him!" And you see, this is the first picture we get. As we examine our world, as we look at our world around us, and we look at all of the tragedies that are going on within our current world, as you look at the terrorist activity and all of these things that begin to affect many people as they look at these things, where we need to get back to is understanding our King. Jamin prayed in his prayer, and rightfully so, for the attackers as well as for the victims. Because you see, this is really the stark contrast between those who would carry out atrocities against human beings and the understanding, as it were, of our King. Our King suffers the atrocity of mankind. He takes it upon himself. He doesn't bring it out against others. These people who carry out these terrorist attacks are horribly deceived. They think that somehow in their terrorist activity or in their activities that they carry out, somehow they're gaining favor with God, like as if God's pleased if we would go out and destroy people. They're horribly, horribly deceived. And you see, that's really what the Christian church is all about. The Christian church then brings the message of Christ the King, hoping that God in his wisdom and his strength and in his power will drive this message home. Yes, even to our enemies. You see, this is what this world needs. It doesn't need politicians. It doesn't need any of those kind of things. I know they all carry their little thing. They all do their little thing. But politicians are not going to change this world. Christ the King is the one who changes the world. And this is who we trust in. This is the one who has promised us that he will take care of us each and every day. This is the one who has suffered, as it were, the atrocities of mankind. This is your King. Pilate asked the question, "Are you a king?" And Jesus tells him, "Well, yeah, I am a king." And not in so many words, but that's really what he says within that text. "That's what you've said. What you said is correct. I am a king. But my kingdom is not of this world. It doesn't come from a worldly perspective." You see, kings in this world gain their power, as it were, from their subjects, from their people, their citizens of their country. They are the ones who place them in power, so to speak, or who at least serve them in some way, shape, or form to give them their strength, to equip their armies and all of this stuff that takes place. And then these kings are able to go out and do something. Our King does not do that at all. Our King actually comes and lays down his life for the sake of us and then raises it up again as well, demonstrating that we don't give him any power at all. All the power and dominion belongs to him. Pilate was afraid of Jesus. He didn't want anything to do with him, which is why he kept trying to set him free. Why he kept going out to the Jewish leaders over and over again. I can't find anything that he did wrong. But Jesus told Pilate at one point in that discussion, he says, I am a king, and for this reason was I born, and for this reason came I into this world, that I would bear testimony or witness to the truth. And we need truth. The truth is not a concept that we simply somehow go out and try to find and make deductions based on our earthly wisdom as to what truth is. Truth is found in a person, and that person is none other than Jesus the Christ. This is what John sees. You want to see truth? This is what he sees. He is on the Isle of Patmos, as we recognize out of the second reading that I read for you this morning. And he sees a vision that is not a pathetic vision. The first vision that we have of our king is really kind of a pathetic one, as I mentioned, of a man who is beaten beyond recognition, who is mocked. But the second vision is exactly the opposite. Because you see, Christ reigns. This world and the world that we live in today is going to continue down this spiral where bad things happen, people go their own ways, all of these various things that take place. That does not mean that Christ doesn't reign. He reigns, and he reigns in power and in might. This is what John was to see, because you see, the people, the seven churches unto which John would write, they were suffering horribly for the sake of the gospel. And all the way through this book of Revelation, when you read it, this is what you see. John is basically telling them, all of these things are happening to you as a church. And look, let me point you to the victory that is yours now in Christ. Let me point you to the one who will give you the ability to endure. We need not be afraid. Because you see, this is really the doctrine or the teaching of those who would bring their atrocities on humankind. Their doctrine is fear. And when we begin to fear and are afraid, well, then they're getting exactly what they want. They've already won, so to speak. No, we go out and we preach the doctrine of Christ the King, the teaching of Christ the King, who has arisen in power over death and over hell, and who will bring his judgment into this world one day when he comes again the second time. This is what we make known to people. We point them to the King, the true King. Which is why I said at the beginning of all of this, this is perhaps the best way to end the church year. To again get our eyes focused on the one who suffered horribly on our behalf. To see a king who would actually do this for his subjects. Not demand from them that they would go out and destroy lives, but actually demand exactly the opposite. That we would actually go out and lay our lives down for others. That's why I say these people are horribly deceived. The scripture calls us to go out and minister the gospel, to bring the message of Jesus Christ to this world, to those who are hurting, to those who are suffering horribly at the hands of others, to bring this message consistently over and over and over again. And if it costs our life, then so be it. Because Christ reigns. And whether I live or whether I die, it doesn't change that. That remains the reality for me and for you, for all who are in Christ. Christ reigns. And if we begin to lose sight of that, who knows what our mind will do with us and what kind of tricks it will play. Did you hear about your king? Can you imagine a king like this? Perhaps it's easier for us to understand in some ways the crucified king. Perhaps we can identify with him just a little bit more when we understand how he went through all of these things on our behalf. But what about this other king? Who is the same king? What about this king who, when he shows up in the vision that John has of him, shows up in all of his power and majesty, who is exactly what Daniel prophesied of in his prophecy when he talked about the Son of Man coming and coming into power and his kingdom triumphing over every other kingdom that is in this world, that will ever be in this world. This kingdom stands eternally. What about that vision? John sees Christ in his resurrected form. He sees Christ as the one who has overcome everything. And he hears the words of this same one. Daniel 7. Perhaps you're familiar with this. Daniel had quite a few visions as well, but Daniel, the 7th chapter, beginning with the 9th verse. I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hairs of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were opened. I beheld then, because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake, I beheld even till the beast was slain, and his body destroyed, and given to the burning flame. As concerning the rest of the beasts, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. And again, he's referring here back to the former words of this chapter. But notice in verse 13, I saw in the night visions, behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days. And they brought him near before him, and there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion, which shall not, is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed. Daniel prophesied many years before Christ that this is what Christ would bring in to the current world that you and I live in today. The kingdom stands. And this kingdom of which you and I are part of, because that's what we read in Revelation as well, he has made us kings, or a kingdom, and priests unto God. You see, this is who we are. And this is who our Lord is, our Savior. There's no reason for me really to preach on all these verses, even if you'd want that. There isn't any real reason. Because the words stand by themselves. This is Christ the King. And he has come and made himself available to the human race. He has come in all of his glory. He laid all of that down in his first coming. And I don't want to preach into Advent here, but he laid it all down and he came and he laid his life down for the sake of you and I. And he's coming again with great power and glory. He's coming again, and every eye will see him. Because he is the King of glory. He is the King of the universe. And he is our King. You see, this is the message that we want people to get. Not a message of condemnation. Not a message that, you know, you better watch out because God is going to come back one day in Christ and he's going to crush you. No, we want him to recognize the King. And so we bring this message of grace all the time, over and over and over again, bringing them back to the reality of the one who reigns in all of eternity, who will always reign. And also the idea that you and I now, who are part of the kingdom, reign already in this world with him, which means that we are now free to serve one another. Ephesians 1. Those of you who are in Bible study this morning heard these verses. We didn't have time to talk about them, but we're going to hear them again. Verse 15. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints is, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought or worked out in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, all things under his feet, and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Colossians. I couldn't think of any other way to do this morning, and this is the only way that I could get the message out. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. Here's some pages still turning. Colossians 1, verse 15. He says, who is the image, speaking of Christ, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Chapter 2 of Colossians. And I'm going to read the first 10 verses. For I would that you knew what great conflict I have for them, for you and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. This is Christ the King. And notice what he says. And ye, you all, yous guys, you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. You tell me this morning, what do we have to be afraid of? You tell me what we need to fear. Our God, our Savior, our Lord has shown us over and over again through his word that he rules and he reigns and he is taking care of his own wherever they might be and wherever they live. And he asks us to do the same. That we would bring forth this same message to a world that is hurting, that is dying, in fact, that is horribly deceived, to people who think that somehow their God is instructing them to destroy other people in the name, in his name. We must never fall prey to the deception. And I don't mean that we're going to go out there and carry out these atrocities. I mean that we would destroy or slander people in the name of Jesus Christ. We bring forth the message of Christ the King, who reigns and who rules in our hearts and in this world. And we walk forward into this world facing whatever this world can bring to us without fear. Why? Is that even possible? Yes. Read the testimonies of the people of God who have gone and faced horrible situations and faced them without fear, because they understood. They understood who really reigns and who really rules in this world. And they understood to whom they belong. And they were like John, perhaps, at times in their life. When they seen the vision, they fell like dead men. But you notice, when Christ makes himself known to the person, he simply takes them up from that place of deadness, and he places them back on their feet. And he says, do not be afraid. For I am he that is living, and I was dead, but I'm living, and I live forevermore. And I, in fact, will take care of business. You just trust me. May God help us to do exactly that. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us pray. Gracious Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, that even as we read many passages this morning, your name is what we are drawn to. Your strength is what was revealed. Your Son, in his power and in his majesty and in his glory and in his grace, was revealed in a mighty way. So, Father, even as we leave from this place, we ask that you would continue to strengthen us as your body, that we would go forth and live out the message of Jesus Christ in our lives, not walking around and cowering in fear or firing darts at one another, but simply, Father, bringing forth the message of Christ so that people upon hearing it would be turned from their grave deceptions and turned to the truth. So we pray this all, Father, for the sake of your Son and in his holy name. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion and fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with us all. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.